Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us on the program. We come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and p.m. We are also broadcast again at 1 a.m. Monday mornings. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. We are so grateful for your being a part of our Peabody-nominated program, and we'll let you know if and when all of that unfolds and how it unfolds, and we are excited about how it may very well unfold. We're keeping our fingers crossed, so to speak. Today, we're going to talk with the animals, if you will. Not exactly the Dr. Doolittle story, but darn close to it. It's a fascinating story we're going to find out from our guest, and we're going to welcome her, Barbara, and I believe it's Kirkman, to our program.
Kirkman, yes.
And you're all the way down, if you're still there, you're all the way down in Australia right now.
No, I'm in Austria.
Okay. It's still around the globe. It's still around the globe. And it's nice to have you with us here on the program. I think I need a little talking, too, not getting my maps straight. Needless to say, you have an ability to connect with animals, and this ability is something that really, I think, facilitates a pet owner, if you will, in this case, we're talking about pet owners in particular, to really get through some what could be some very difficult times, even if in the physical reality things don't always turn out the way we'd like them to. At least we have a better understanding. And sometimes that information and that better understanding helps us through those difficult times. And we're not just talking about times when we lose our friends, but even when and I'll put it this way, we lose our friends for a period of time to an illness, an ailment, an injury that prevents them from being the animal that they were, the loving, giving animal that just wants to be there and love us and please us and care for us and so forth. And we miss that, and we want that back as soon as possible. And I can attest to the fact that down through the years, my wife and I have had to sadly put down four animals. Four. And one of them was actually a tortoise, which sounds very strange that you would have to put a tortoise down. But unfortunately, she was small enough that our cats got a hold of her and were playing. And again, you don't blame the animals. They're just doing what they naturally do. We're not talking about predator prey here. They were just playing, and it was an injury that there was just nothing they could do, and they had never done this before either, so this was a new experience for them as well. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of the experiences that you've had, but tell us first when and how you realized that you were hearing these, shall we say, communiques from the animals, and that you were actually, I don't know, is this a two-way street?
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of back up. I've got a couple things I want to mention because of what you're saying about your turtles. So before I get into that, I kind of want to say that I had a Siberian Husky that actually I left my rabbit with, and I came home and at that time I didn't communicate with animals. At least I didn't think I did, and I came home and my rabbit had killed our rabbit, and you normally think, oh, because he was playing with the rabbit too. I was actually angry at him a long time, and took me a while, and I've taken a lot of spiritual courses myself, and then I think this would be important for the listeners today, because since you mentioned with your tortoise and your cat, is that I was mad for a long time, I have to admit, and then I came to a point that I got to forgive my dog, and my dog felt that, you know, there was like a distance between my Siberian Husky and I, and a little bit of distance, because I was always mad. I was like, I know you're a Siberian Husky, but why did you kill my rabbit. You're my dog. This is my rabbit. This is our rabbit. And until I forgave him, things started to shift with our energy and with our relationship. And you could really feel the difference, you know? And so if there's anybody out there, since you mentioned it today, and I have a feeling that there's somebody out there today that really needs to hear that, that might be mad because they're experiencing that with a pet, because otherwise you wouldn't mention it. And there's never coincidences in life as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure you will agree. And so I would say that forgiveness is very big, not just with people, but also with animals, because you're forgiving yourself. You're sending this beautiful, warm energy out also to your animals, and you're creating a peace and a peace of mind, yeah, for both of you, and you're bringing yourselves together. Now, to answer your question, how I found out about it, that's very interesting, because how I learned animal communication, it was very interesting because my cats kept getting sick. I'm originally from the States, and I moved back from Europe to the States. I've moved like 26 times, and I moved back to the States, and my cats kept getting sick. And somebody mentioned an animal communicator. And at that time, I didn't realize that I myself could communicate with animals. And I had done a lot of different things, but it all came down to the same thing, but I didn't realize it. I guess I needed the words animal communication, you know. And this is very important for the listeners today, because actually everybody can speak to their animals and hear their animals. So I ended up going to a lady to find out, because somebody said, you know, they said your cats are always sick, we'll talk to an animal communicator. So I called her up, and she was always booked out, and I said, and she said to me once, she said, the lights went out in you. And I was like, wow, I live all by myself. How can... Those were the exact words that I said. The lights went out in me. And she said, well, what? And I was like, nobody could know that, because I never told her. She like took her time. She said, call me like in a day or so, or half an hour, whatever her schedule was. And then she said, I'll key in and I'll let you know what's going on. And those were the exact words. The lights went out of me. And she said, when you shift your energy, your pets will shift. And then I had this, I really like, and I did that. And that's when my cats really got healthy again. And I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing that I affect my animals so much. I affect my pets, that my energy is really affecting them so much. So I thought I had to learn this animal communication class. So I took like two of them. I've been on the spiritual journey over 21 years. And I took these two animal communication classes. And before I took the first one, a friend of mine said, you already know it. And I said, what do you mean I already know it? She said, we've been doing it for years in our spiritual school. I said, we have been. She said, yeah. She said, I've taken a class. You already know how to connect with them. I said, I do. And she said, yeah, you'll see when you go to the class. So I went to this class, and then I realized everybody there who hasn't been doing psychic work like I was, or like being really empathic or intuitive, doing intuitive work, they connected with the animals like instantaneously. They were picking up things like, this pet is saying that it's sick and it doesn't feel at home. And these were pets that weren't in the room. These were pets that were distance away. And these people they didn't train their psyche, or they didn't train their intuition, or they weren't even people who got really quiet on a regular basis or meditated or did EFT or anything to clear your energetic field, you know, or your aura. And they were picking up all sorts of things. And I was like, wow. And then I realized that I've been doing this a long time, you know, and I can do this. And I realize I do this. But the fact is that I love the animals so much that they're just my calling. It's more than a passion. I feel like so connected with every one of them. And whenever something happens to an animal, it doesn't matter who it is. It's like, oh, you know, I just feel like this urge, like I've got to help every one of them. You know, it's just, I don't know, something comes over me. I'm just really connected with the animals. It's just everywhere. It's just, I think sometimes it's a bit of a sadness, but it's also a calling and a passion. And it's, I just want them all healthy and healed. And I know that I have to learn to step back many times, because I can help. I say that the people affect their animals so much, but I can only do so much. But the people have to understand that they're responsible for that, because they affect their energetic field and they affect their animals. and they affect their pets, and everything that's going on with them affects their animal. So I'm jumping all over the place, actually, to answering your question. But I get, like, all carried away when I start talking about the animals, you know.
Well, that's not a problem. I have to say that Barbara has given both Amrit and I an insights into our three shepherds in particular, and especially the dynamic that's going on between Angus, our second oldest, and our youngest, Bridget, who is the newest arrival. And matter of fact, we've had her now a year, and she's a little over a year. We got her on the 15th of April, which is rather interesting. I'm sure there's some numerological aspect to that here in the States anyway. But one of the things that I have noticed, and you say that you've been doing this for a long time and you didn't even realize it.
Yes.
I have a feeling that a lot of pet owners have been doing it for a long time and they don't even realize it. And it's something that it sounds to me like you would encourage a more conscious rather than unconscious or subconscious communication.
Yes. And is it okay if I kind of key in there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because see, here's the thing. Like, with your animals, it's I walked past a park recently, and I saw how people were treating their dogs, and it really bothers me that I'm like, all these pet owners don't know what they're doing with their pets, and I almost can scream. You know, it's like it makes me like, you know, I really have mm-hmm. to calm down, you know, because I see them like how they're treating their animals. And like a lot of times, let's say if a dog is barking around the house, and this is what I realized lately is that what happens is a lot of animals end up in shelters because they don't know why a cat is peeing around their place. They don't know whether it could be a medical situation, so they're going to have to go to the vets right away because vets have their purpose for us. They don't know whether it's because there's a new cat or a new pet in the place, a new person, a new boyfriend, a new girlfriend. They got divorced. They're getting stressed out. They have a new job, or there's just some sort of stress that they're emanating. And our animals reflect that back immediately. And the animals are always here to show us, hey, what's going on? And getting back to like a dog barking, instead of going over to the dog and saying, most people say, be quiet. You know, they don't normally go over to their dog and pet their dog and say, and I'm not trying to put everybody in a shoe, but instead of going over and say and pet them nicely and say, I know you're trying to protect me. I realize that you think and you believe your job is to protect me. I love you for it. You can bark. That's your voice. Go ahead, bark. I mean, because rabbits don't have a voice, but not really. But dogs and cats and other animals do, basically. Mm-hmm. Most of them do. And to go over and say, I'm sorry, and I'm glad. Thank you for protecting me. I hear you. I'm here. Okay, if you want to bark and protect me, okay. I feel safe now. You're safe. I'm safe. And we're all okay. You can relax now. But if you really feel that I'm not safe and I got to look on further, then I'm going to look further and see what's going on. You know what I mean? Because you're trying to tell me something. And most people don't do that. And right away, I want to kind of get into something that I had actually spoken to you about, my cat and both my cats, because we had spoken, my one cat, they're building above me, and the one cat, my cat was panicked, and I was panicked because I don't like noise. And so in the beginning, I went to the vet and I got pills for my cat, and I gave her these pills to relax. And then after a while, I said, wait a minute, I am so stressed out from this noise and I am so nervous and I got to calm down. And I've got to accept this noise and I've got to come to a different point because I don't like noise. And the more I push against it, the more noise I'm going to have. So I've got to start to accept this and live with it and learn to deal with it. And find a way for her to calm down, because she would run under something where she would duck, and I would be so nervous that she would hurt herself, and she'd run frantically around the apartment. It was nerve-wracking. And also here on New Year's Day, they shoot the fireworks, and usually I do like healings on her and relaxations for her, and she calms down. And most years she would be nervous, but since a couple years now, I really do healings on her, and it's really switched. So back to them banging, and then I got to a point where I said, I started to calm down. I relaxed. I did peaceful things for myself, and I've saved myself actually time and money, because now I don't go to the vet anymore and I don't buy any more pills. And now she's calm. And whenever she gets nervous, I notice that it's something in me, because it's happened a couple times in between, yeah? And then I notice, uh-oh, this is me. And I'll say, it's all okay. We're safe. I'm safe. You're safe. We're safe. And we can be peaceful. And I want to add on to that with my cat who is medically dead, yeah? Because that's one of my biggest stories, yeah, that I had a cat who was medically dead. Her name was Lydia. And the vet said that it's over. They were given her IVs. Actually, the whole story is this. I actually would like to share it. Is that okay, Richard?
Because feel free. Really, yes, absolutely.
Okay, it's really a profound story. It's she was in the vets 11 days, and I would go there every day to visit her. And they were given her IVs, and she would just lay there, and she wouldn't move at all. And Lydia and I have a very special connection. She is on the other side now, but we still have an extreme intense connection. I still feel her, and I know she's coming back now too. And we have this real connection, and because I found her on the street in Mallorca, so it's a long story, but and she sat on my lap. So she was laying there 11 days in the vet's office, and I finally said to the vet, I said, look, I said, you know, my cat hates the vet's office. You know that. I said, I'm going to take her home. That's it. I'm going to take her home. And she was like, no, we were talking about it. And then she said, you know what? She's in critical condition, but okay, I'll let you take her home. Cause I know you, Miss Kurtman, I know you, you got to take your cat home. So she said, but she's in critical condition. You're going to have to bring her every single day. And I said, okay. And her fur, after the 11 days, her fur just completely went apart. I mean, through all the IV. Now, here's the thing. I had a girlfriend, and I was very close to her. She went to my spirit. We both went to the same spiritual school. And she used to tell me, Barbara, you're giving away your power. You're a healer. Sit down and heal your cat. And I said, I can't. Her name was Betty, and I love her till today. And I said, Betty, I cannot do it. I'm scared. I said, every time I sit down to focus on my cat, I'm afraid of my own thoughts. I keep seeing her dead. And I said, I can't. My thoughts are going, I'm so intensely focused and so intensely in it, but my thoughts keep jumping to not seeing her alive. And I was afraid of my own thoughts. I was afraid that I'm sending out her dying on myself. I was so scared and so emotional that I couldn't do it. And she said, but, you know, switch them. And I was like, they're not switching. I just can't. So for some odd reason, I can't control my thoughts. I just kept seeing her dead. So I was afraid to do it. I was afraid of my own thoughts. I knew I would manifest it. So I was nervous. And so she said to me, when you change, it will change. She's going to live. And she was just laying there. Yeah, nothing. She wasn't moving. Her fur went apart. Then the vet said, we got to take her in. And we got to put her on this thing that'll heal her fur. It was getting worse and worse. You know what I mean? And about 3 weeks went past, and she was still just laying there, didn't move. And I knew that I had to get the IVs, because without the IVs, she would not live. So I always say, you know, certain times you definitely have to go to the vets. And I say that we work hand in hand, yeah? And sometimes you really need to go to the vets, or you have to really know and believe that you can do it on your own. But in this situation, she really needed IVs. And I was about to put her down, and I spoke to this to the assistant of the vet. And first of all, the main vet said to me, there's nothing more we can do. It's over. It's done. I can't do anymore. We've done everything we could. There's nothing more we can do. Medically, she is dead. So that was it. It was over. Medically, it was over. What we normally know, medically, it was over. And the assistant said, let's give her 2 more days. And I said, okay. And my girlfriend said to me, when you change your attitude, your cat will live. I told you she's going to live. And so I finally got near her and I said, I don't know you anymore, Lydia. I had to get really, really quiet. And I said, I don't know you anymore. I mean, you know, you're sick, so I guess you've changed. So I said, please, you got to give me a sign. Do you want to live or not? Because if you don't want to live, then okay, I guess I have to put you down. But if you want to live, please let me know. And I had to get so quiet, Richard. I mean, so quiet, like with not even a pin dropping. That's how quiet I had to get. And my girlfriend said, when you change your attitude, she'll live. So I finally said, you know what? I got up and I said, okay, I changed my attitude. I choose life. Because my girlfriend kept saying, you're dead. I said, I'm dead. She said, you are dead. I'm like, here we go again. She said, when you choose life, she'll live. So I finally got up and I said, I choose life. I choose to live and I choose life. In that split second, Richard, I swear to God, my cat was laying there dead 3 weeks. She gets up. She was wobbly, but she gets up for the first time. And I look and I go, can't believe what I'm looking at. Oh, my God. It's like the dead woke up, you know? Mm. And then I had been going to the vets constant, you know, every day. So I was there at 7 a.m. with her, and I even gave her IVs myself. And at 7 a.m., I hadn't eaten all day, and it was already like then hours had passed, and it was already like 1 a.m. in the morning, and I hadn't eaten for like 18 hours because I was always laying near her and being near her, you know. And finally, I said, should I eat? Shouldn't I eat? Nah, okay, I'm choosing life, so I'm going to eat. And I swear, the bedroom to my kitchen, in a way, it's far. For a cat, it's far. For me, it's a bunch of steps to go through the living room into the hall and the kitchen. And I started to eat. Next thing I know, I'm hearing crunch, crunch, crunch. And I look down, and my cat Lydia, that had wobbled across, she's eating just like me. And I'm going, oh, my God. It was the first time she ate in 3 weeks. I mean, she actually wobbled all the way from the room into the kitchen. And I tell you, she lived 10 more years. And it's amazing. And every time the vets would tell me, oh, her kidneys, they just failed. She's not going to live. I said, what? I said, you're talking about my Lydia. I said, no, 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 no. Lydia, she's strong and she's powerful and she will live. Oh, and by the way, Richard, you know what I said in those 3 weeks also anyway? Hmm. I would tell her every day. You know how they say it takes about 3 weeks to shift the quantum field? I would tell her every day, you're strong, you're powerful, you're healthy, you're healed. Even though I was emotionally upset, I would say that every day. You're strong, you're powerful, you're healed. I see you healed. Even though I always jumped a little bit back to the other thing, I was still telling her every day. And it actually was healing me. And this is the interesting thing with dealing with animals, and I'm actually going to throw the benefits even in now, because the interesting thing is having pets is so interesting because they're such a reflection of our own inner world, what's going on with us. And they're always showing us what we got to look and we got to see what we're thinking and switch our thoughts. And when we're dealing with them, and sometimes they get as sick as my cat, like medically dead, so that we make a switch, so that we say, hey, what's going on with me? Or what am I emanating, or what am I thinking? I mean, it's not always an easy place to be, because you're like, what's going on with me now, or what's going on now, or what does my pet want to show me? And you're like, oh no, not again, you know, or what do I have to learn here again? Come on, you know. But they're such great mirrors, because they reflect our behaviors all the time, you know. And so when you're learning in animal communication, what's really interesting is that you learn to shift your own energy. You learn to look at yourself. You learn to shift your entire life. You know, like with Lydia, I was saying every single day, you're like a bulldozer. You're stronger than the entire universe. You're so powerful. And that would make me powerful and strong, you know what I mean? Because I had to say it to her. And you're healthy and you can do this and you're living and you're alive and you're strong and you're healthy and I see you healthy. And, you know, and it reflects back to us. We get healthy, we get healthier, we get stronger. We create a different life for ourselves. We make better decisions. We get quieter. We get more intuitive. We strengthen our intuition. Animals help us with decision makings across the board. They help us see our own mirrors of our own self. They help us learn how to switch our own life in every area, you know, abundance and everything. So it's actually it's so fascinating that animals do all that, you know, and more. So I'm going to give you some time to key in, but anyway, I get so into it, you know.
Well, no, that's fine. That's part of the reason why we have you here, is to talk about your experiences and share with our listeners and let them know that there are ways in which we can connect. I think that one of the aspects with animals, they say that, I don't know what the exact figures are, but statistics, what being what they are, that a pet, a single pet will add, I don't know, 3 or 4 years to your life. I'm not sure what that means when we have 10, but
30 years then, Richard.
I've got a long way to go, and that's just fine. But it is, it certainly can be a bit of a frustration when you start taking a look at and are aware of your animals and their behavior and what it is that they're trying to show you or tell you about what's going on within yourself. And, you know, it's like going through some kind of a therapy session or encounter group. And it's like, enough already. I've done this before. I don't need to do this again. But the reality is that the more we're able to get through some of these things, and I'll tell you what, if it's an animal that's helping you, that's assisting you in this process, sometimes that can be a whole lot nicer and a whole lot easier than another human who has all kinds of preconceptions and judgments and so forth. Whereas here's this animal that just has real unconditional love. Yes. And so when we take a look at the dynamics of the animals within our home, especially if we have two or more, that also is a great sign. Another great sign is our clock. We have to take a break. We're going to do that, and we're going to come back and talk more with Barbara. She's an animal communicator here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay right where you are.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Barbara Kirkman's my guest. She's an animal communicator, and we're talking about all aspects of pet ownership and how that impacts us as individuals, and also what it can mean for us in terms of our own personal growth, which is part of what we're going through. Barbara, I thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. You're talking to us all the way from Austria, and we really appreciate that via Skype. And it is quite extraordinary what we've been able to accomplish over the years with our technology. Sometimes I think, though, that our technology gets in the way of our ability to really connect with our animals, that really that's what they want. I mean, it's more than just what I've been taught about specifically about dogs, that all they want to do is please us. That's all they want to do. They love us that much that they just want to please us.
Yes.
And so let's go ahead and let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wanted to kind of get into that, because the thing is that they really want to please you. And like, so many times, like they're just here for you to just help you. And a lot of the times I've experienced with many different people that they'll take on illnesses so you don't get them. Or let's say, like even experiences that I've had where somebody said like their cat was scratching a part of themselves all the time, and scratching and itching is sort of like, I want to get away from something or somebody. That's one format. Yeah, it's not everything for everybody, because I always say that each animal and person is unique and has something different to share with us and tell us, and a part of ourselves. They'll never be the same. They're unique, like we are unique, and every animal communication story is never the same, or situation is the same. It's different with each person and each animal and each connection. Like Angus will have a different relationship with you than he will have with your wife, believe it or not. Each mm-hmm. animal does, you know. And so, and each, like I'm alone, so my two cats that I, well, when I had Lydia and miracles, each one of them were showing something else in me and teaching me something else. Yeah. And Lydia was more, she taught, in a way, I thought she taught me more, but I remember going to my animal communication class and they were telling me that miracles said that that she used to be a queen and that I had this experiences that I always got some sort of rejection for a time with men, and she kept showing me that, and I kept pushing her away, and they kept pushing me away, and I finally, through the class, because I didn't realize it at that time, I should have realized it, that she was showing me this behavior, you know, and then when I finally realized it, then I could switch my attitudes and my feelings, you know, and understand, hey, wait, she's been trying to show me that I've been pushing her away. And I didn't mean to do that. You just do all sorts of things that you sometimes don't even realize. And they're trying to make you aware, and they keep doing things to show you, are you looking at me finally? Are you realizing? Come on. And they keep doing it until you stop and realize. Like, I had a lady once in Austria. This is very interesting. She said to her cat, she loved cats. Yeah, she had 10 cats. And she said, you know what? You can leave now. And she didn't mean to say that. And within 1 week, 3 cats died. And so we're talking, and I said, do you realize what you said, what you did? I said, you actually allowed them to go. She goes, oh, my God. No wonder why they're leaving. Oh, my God. I said, you told your cats they can leave. Mommy doesn't need me anymore, so I can go. I said, I never tell my cat that. I say that, please stay. I love you. I want you to be here a long time, and I love you. And I even say often, I need you, you know. I say, I would love you to be here. But, like, I tell miracles. I say, miracles, the only job you have is not to take care of if I have any ailments. Your only job is to be happy and to enjoy yourself and to just, you know, just be healthy. And that makes mommy feel good, you know, because I know so many situations where animals end up, like one lady, she had a horse. And the horse, of course, was somewhere else. Well, it's not always like that. But in her case, the horse was somewhere else. And she had gastritis, and her horse had gastritis. And I said, you realize because you have it, your horse has it. And somebody else I know had, I think it was diabetes or something, and her cat had diabetes. And it's sort of like they reflect you. So what does that all mean? It means that they're also taking it on. They're also trying to show us. And it's worse when they take it on. So what we really want to do is talk to our pets, because a lot of people think they can't talk to their pets. They think when they go on vacation, they're like, but I can't talk to my dog and tell him I'm coming back. I said, yes, you can. I said, tell him what's going on. Tell him you're going to work, but you're coming home. Because some dogs, like, for instance, I know I'm jumping around, Richard, but there's so much to say. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes when your dog barks all the time and it's like doesn't want you to leave because they feel sad when you're leaving. But if you told them, hey, I'm definitely coming back. You pet them beforehand. I'm definitely coming back. You can calm down. I promise you I'll be back. You can transform situations. But because people don't transform them or don't understand, let's say, why a dog is pulling them in the park or almost going to bite somebody. Dogs end up in shelters. Cats end up in shelters, you know. And I'm saying recently I realized, my God, I got to help all these people that the animals don't end up in shelters. Because if you don't understand your animals, and a lot of people unfortunately don't, Richard, the pets do end up in shelters. Or an experience I've had recently that somebody I know who's working in a shelter told me that they've got to work the dogs so that people, like, in other words, they got to train the dogs so that people will take the dogs. And she's like, what's going on here? And I said, oh my God, because the poor dogs, a lot of dogs will come in abused, or like the owner left them. So they're getting abandonment issues. They have abandonment issues like we do. They need security and protection and safety. And if people would give them that security, safety, protection, and understand them and talk to them and pet them and be closer to them and try to listen and hear what they're saying, if they went to bite somebody, it might be because there, like somebody I know, I mean, I'm jumping around. I'm jumping fast today, but there's a lot to say. But I know somebody with a partner, the dog started to bite somebody. And she said, I think it's when I'm with the partner because he's aggressive. I said, something to look at there. And that partner keeps saying that dog is aggressive. But when that dog is not around, that dog is not aggressive. And so you got to look at the dynamics. The dog is always trying to tell you something, you know, and dogs are very good at this. But cats are are also too. If somebody comes in the place and they don't like them, a dog will bark or a cat will tell you. They tell you when something's wrong or something's off. But we got to listen. You know, we got to look. We got to listen. We got to feel into it. And we can't just give our cats and dogs away to a shelter because they're barking or they might have bit somebody. There's a reason why that happened. You're the owner. You got to take responsibility for your pets. You know what I mean, Richard? I get
absolutely
passionate about this. You know?
It's one of those things where I've experienced this myself, and my wife and I both. When the dogs are barking, as a matter of fact, that's interesting. I clued in on this rather quickly, and when it was time for the dogs to go out, or they wanted to, especially in our case, Angus, he would stand at the top of the steps, and he would bark. And at first, you know, I thought, this is odd. Okay, that's enough. Thank you very much. We got it. But he would do that every single time. And I started to think about that from his standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize that the reason why he barks every time he steps out onto the stoop before he goes out to do his business, he is informing who or whatever may be in the yard or maybe in the proximity of the yard, even outside the fence, I'm coming out. You better move. You better get out of my way. Get out of my space. I'm coming through to do whatever it is I need to do. And he's basically, it's a warning is what it is. Wow. Now, he's not a vicious dog. He's never attacked anybody or anything. Mm-hmm. He's a very loving dog. But that's just his way.
Interesting.
And so I just let him do it. I said, fine, okay, if that's what you need to do, go right ahead. And I close the door. And he stands there and barks for another maybe 30 or 40 seconds, goes down the steps, goes into the yard, might bark a little bit more, but eventually he quiets down. Mm-hmm. And anytime a critter passes through the area, and not necessarily in the yard, but outside the fenced area and along the hillside or what have you, or because we can see the hilltop down the road from us and the other structures, if there's anybody walking, they'll bark a little bit and then they'll quiet down. And it's nothing more than informing us, but also informing them that I see you. I'm aware of you. I know you're there, and I'm letting the folks know that you're there too. Even if it could be a rabbit for all that mattered. It doesn't matter. It's whatever individual, if you will, happens to be in that proximity. Yeah. So that's something that I've clued in on. And of course, also this, you talk about how the animals behave differently. And it's real interesting because sometimes I wonder if I should be going home or not, because I will come home and the animals just become so excited. Now, I understand that part of that has to do with the fact that, oh, he's home. Well, let's welcome him. Let's greet him. Let's say hello and how are you and all of that. But it takes a while for them to calm down. And my observation there is that it's due to my energy coming into the house. Mm-hmm. If I had been there all afternoon or all evening long, that would be one thing. But I'm coming in from after producing a ball game, and they just get excited. I mean, that's just the way that they are. So I think you're absolutely right. We, as pet owners, we're not trying to convince everyone, okay, you all need to become pet psychics here. And we're not talking about that.
No,
Because it's actually simpler than that.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but it's keying, like you're saying, like keying into your energy, keying into their energy, and realizing, okay, he's at the top of the stairs to say, I'm being the boss, I'm coming out, you know? And that's actually really good, because it sounds funny that I say it like that, but the thing is when they say that, I've had situations where, like, a person isn't playing the boss or being the boss, and so their pet will take over and be the boss or be the voice. Like, I've had a situation of a lady I felt in a past life, she was boa constrictor had really, you know, around her throat area that had really had killed her. Mm-hmm. But I also felt she couldn't voice herself in this life. And then she was telling me, and it's interesting because when I key in on the animals, I key in on the people too. So it's kind of like a double thing. You get a lot out of it because you key in the animal, but they're giving me messages about them and what they like, but they're giving me messages about the people. And then they're giving me messages about, you know, a whole situation. And I always say that it's, you know, then I've got to coach the people. I mean, just leaving it there is just not enough because the people have to make shifts. And if they don't make the shift, like that animal communicator told me, or if I didn't change my attitude, Lydia would have never lived. I wouldn't have had a chance. She was medically dead. It was over. But there's a chance till the last breath. That's the thing. Yeah. And so this lady who got, you know, killed by the boa constrictor, she said, I said, you're not voicing yourself. She said, yeah, everybody tells me what to do. I said, yeah, but you know, I said, maybe you got to take a stand on who you're, you know, on and say that I don't want to be bossed around or be told what to do. This is my life and I want to do it like this. And maybe you got to tell the people. And she said, because you're not voicing yourself, your dog is barking in the park, your dog is barking at other dogs, your dog is barking at people, seems like it wants to bite other people. She said, yeah, but I just got this dog and my friend was like that too. My friend, it was really my friend's dog. I said, your friend was the same. She goes, oh my God. And it really dawned on her. I said, everybody's a mirror. I said, your friend was the same. She had the same. She was the same as you. She said, oh my God. I said, you got to take a stand in your life. I said, for your dog to shift. Your dog is playing the boss. He's got to voice himself because you're not. So he's barking and he wants to bite. But if you don't become the boss, how's your dog going to stop playing the boss when he goes out, you know? I wanted to say something while I went back when I said that the animals had gastritis and diabetes, because I wanted to tell the people how you could switch that or change that.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that you can do is really like I did with Lydia. I would tell her every day, like, you know, you're strong, you're healthy, and you do it with yourself too. Or you do techniques like, I'm going to mention EFT, I'm going to mention the Sedona method or matrix energetics or just clearing your energy or meditation or relaxation. My brother, for instance, he plays ice hockey. He gets out his energy through ice hockey. However you get out your energy or whatever helps you is release that energy, but also work on yourself to heal yourself as best you can, or say that I can take care of myself. You don't need to take on this energy. I always tell my cat whenever I feel like I have an ailment, I tell my cat, I'm okay. You can be free of this energy. Yeah. I'm okay. Mommy can take care of herself. I'm okay. You can be free of my ailments. You got to watch your words, right? Because words are very powerful and very strong. Just like this lady who was saying that, you know, you can leave to the cats. And I told you I would never say that. Yeah. So it's a whole Loa thing too. It's the law of attraction in everything. And like I said, the interesting thing about the animals is across the board, they help you intensify your intuition. They help you shift your energy so that you're healthier, you know, and then if you're ill, then take care of yourself and start saying things and doing things that make you feel healthy and good and believe that you can heal. So believe that your pets can heal, because I, like I said, my cat lived 10 more years, but they said with the kidneys, she's going to die. And I said, no, she won't. And she'll live. I said, my Lydia will live. And they said, you got to bring her in every day or every week. And I said, what? I don't have the money for that right now. I'm not taking her in every week. So I said, give me this stuff. So a long time I used to just give her the stuff. I never took her in. I thought, you know, I'm not going to take her in. You have to really, and they told me so many times Lydia was going to die. I mean, so many times. Mm-hmm. When Lydia had her stroke, this is before I put her down, they said to me, you got to put her down. And I happened to be out because I had bronchitis at that time and she was in critical condition. And Lydia's legs were split apart, and I came to the vets and I picked her up and they said, we got to put her down tonight. That's it. And I said, what? I had a heart attack, of course. You know, I was so close to that cat. I always knew if something happened, I would freak out in a way because I love that cat. So I took her in my hands, Richard, and her legs were split apart. And I know her consciousness was really not 100% there, but she was still here in some form or another, just like with people. And I took her and she clawed into me like, mommy, you're not putting me down tonight. I'm your fur baby. There is is no way you're going to listen to these vets and put me down. No way.
Yeah. Well, we.
I took her home.
Yeah. Well, we had the experience of having to put down three of four Siberian Huskies over the course of 3 years. And it was a mama, a papa, and one of the siblings. The fourth sibling we brought with us to Santa Barbara, and by doing so, I think we gave him an extra year of life. Wow. But the papa, this is rather interesting. I was not there at that time. I was there for the other two. But the papa, my wife was there, and when they were about ready to do this, apparently he, the papa, turned and grabbed her, I can't remember if it was her arm or her hand, in his mouth, and actually pressed down. She didn't remove her hand, but basically it was like, I really don't want to do this, or I don't want to leave you, whatever the case might be. The reality was that we really honestly did not have the option. We didn't want him to suffer any further than he already was.
Yeah.
And those are hard experiences. And I remember the very first time I ever had to do something like that. I remember the experience was such that I had to remind her of why we had these animals in the first place and what our first obligation to them was. Mm-hmm. And you don't want her to suffer, do you? No. All right. Then I will take the onus off of you and I will make the decision. So at least she didn't feel the connection to that decision. And I just knew that it was the right thing to do at the time, but she was very emotional, but it was something that had to be done. Yeah. But nonetheless, this is the process. And I still remember with my first wife coming down the gangplank with her first guide dog. And I knew that in 10 years, I knew what was going to happen. I mean, it was just naturally, that was the process. But the last thing I wanted to do was get close to this dog. Well, you can forget that. That desire not to went by the wayside rather quickly. But it's these kinds of things that we struggle with. But it is part of the package. If you're going to take an animal into your life, one day that animal will leave your life in a physical sense, which draws me to a question to you in regards to your level of communication with these animals. Are you able to communicate with them after they've passed on?
Yes. For me personally, I mean, after I put Lydia down, I, because I was so emotional, it took me a while. I had to really calm down. I mean, for the thing is yes, you can. And I did eventually when I finally calmed down. It took me a while because I really never wanted to put her down. Yeah. But I was right. Like you at that point, but not at that night. That night I did not put her down. Actually, I took her home in critical condition again. Mm-hmm. And she lived three more months. She didn't die overnight, as they said. So I really thought I had a chance. And I probably did. Sometimes I feel like I failed sometimes because I believe there's – I want to say this. I believe there is a quantum field for us even living in these bodies and even for pets. But I don't think we're there yet. So it was really hard on me to – when I did 3 months later put her down. But she did not die overnight with what the vet said. And at first they were like, well, that's because we gave her stuff. No, Lydia wanted to still live and be here with me. And she really showed it. And I did take it out of her hands at a certain time because I switched vets because they weren't nice. And then at the time, then the vet said to me that, I'll work with you. And then I didn't need to go to him anymore for a long time. I didn't need to go. He said, but you're going to have to make her walk. He said, you have to get her to walk because otherwise the organs will fail. And that's what happened because it was hard to get her to walk. It wasn't easy. Yeah, she did her legs didn't go anymore. But saying that, I just want to say something and then I'm going to answer your question. I met somebody recently and he's a veterinarian, I mean, online, and I read his story and he, with his mind, healed a paralyzed dog where everybody said it was impossible anymore. He focused only with his mind. He is a vet, but he believes in possibilities, bountiful possibilities. I don't say unlimited because that's limited, so I say bountiful. So he believes in bountiful possibilities, and everybody neurologically and all the other vets said no chance with this dog. This dog was just laying there, and he was paralyzed. And he healed this dog being from paralyzed within 2 weeks that this dog could walk again. He was totally healed. I'm going to say his name. His name is Dr. Enos, E-N-O-S. I haven't had contact with him a while now, but it really hit me hard when I had that contact with him, because I said, my cat could have healed then. I wish I could have put her in that quantum field. I did it the first time, but it's not always easy, and that's why I put her down then too. But yes, I do want to say, and I wanted to mention that because I find that absolutely miraculous, and I want to give everybody on this call hope to don't just put your pets down right away, because there's always hope. You got to feel into your pets. You got to read them. You got to see every part that's going on with them. Really listen to them when they're here, you know, before we get off, because I know we got 5 or 10 more minutes. And I want to give that nugget out to everybody. Don't please refrain from giving them to shelters if they bark or if they pee around the house. There's a solution. There is a solution. Mm-hmm. And I want to say, yes, I can communicate with pets on the other side. I've communicated with many people's pets on the other side. It's very easy to do. It's really, you're connected, just like with lost pets. Instead of saying they're lost, say that you're connected. I found my cat who was lost on the street once. She was gone 2 days in a big city, and I helped somebody find her lost pet. And it's just a matter of really calming down and really hearing your inner voice, getting really quiet. Do anything you need to, like, release your stress, release your energy, clear your energy, listen, take time out. Love is the biggest healer. Trust, talking to your pets, knowing that you can heal your pets more than believing, knowing that you can heal yourself, knowing that you can heal your pets. I mean, talk is the best thing. I mean, and yes, I've communicated with Lydia on the other side. And recently I even read a lady's book who was talking, because that was an area that I wasn't familiar with. And she was talking about how the pets reincarnate. And I clearly asked the question just a couple weeks ago. I wanted to know if my cat was coming back. And I said, I asked these questions, like I asked a definitive question. I want to have sure signs if you're coming back within the next 3 days. I know for sure you're coming back if I have, you know, I want to have sure signs, you know. Mm-hmm. It was really like definitive. And within 3 days, I mean, somebody posted overnight, I was reading her book, and then somebody said to me, so I want to assure people that your pets can come back. I haven't had the experience yet, but I know a lot of people have. But I know that she's coming back, because overnight I was drawn to Facebook and said, why do I have to go there now? I don't want to go there now. And somebody writes me, I'm an animal communicator too. And then within the next few days, the next day there was something, somebody called me and said, do you have a home for a cat? Because I know a cat that needs a home. And then somebody writes me on Facebook and she says, sign this petition. And where the petition was a picture of my cat in her window. And I'm like, oh my God, that's my Lydia. Deleted her everywhere on Facebook. What is she doing in your window? I thought. But I posted to her like a couple years ago, and there's my Lydia. Mm. And I'm going, oh my God, there's my black cat, you know? And then another sign came up. Somebody sent me an email just before then and said, and their name was Lydia Administrator. And I go, oh my God, you know? So I got all these signs. So yes, you can communicate with pets on the other side, and everybody can connect if they want to. And I wanted to say that everybody can communicate with animals. Everybody can, and everybody can feel into it. It's not just me. It's you and everybody. Like you said, you're connecting with your dog, and you're realizing that your dog is saying, hey, I'm coming, and I'm showing you that I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I really love that. That's really powerful, you know?
I think another thing, too, to keep in mind, and have you discuss this as well before we wrap up our program, is the fact that as necessary as it might be to take your pet in when you feel it is time to release them, a better course of action, if it is possible, is to allow that process to happen as naturally as possible in your home. Now, we have had three that we had to take to the vet to sadly put down, but we've also had the fourth Siberian and two cats who actually passed away in our home. And one of the cats we actually held until they had actually passed. And I actually was a little concerned for my wife's safety because the one cat, whose name was Mella, was actually sort of lashing out. Not real aggressively, but every so often you'd hear him make a little noise, and his paw would come out with the claws and what have you. And my wife even shares the experience that she even felt him pass right through her.
Wow.
And then we had one other cat who was a dear friend of ours who lived in our home for about 3 months after living across the street from us for about 5 years. And he had a cat whose name was Amos, had a partner named Andy. They were both black cats. And after his passing, we took him in. We took Amos in, and we brought him with us to Santa Barbara. And as far as we are able to recall, as far as all of the references to his age, he passed away in our home on the floor in my studio. We knew that the time was coming. It was short. So we put some blankets together and we made a nice little comfortable area for him and went to work one day and came home and he was gone. But he lived to be, as far as we can figure, 25 years old.
Wow.
And he just didn't want to go. I just don't think he wanted to leave, in spite of the fact that we kept telling him, look, you can go anytime you want. Your daddy's waiting for you on the other side, you know, but you can stay as well. I mean, you're welcome here. You know, we don't want you to go, but at the same time, we also don't want you to suffer. Yeah. So we really left the choice up to him. And we did this with both the Siberian and the two cats. And our other cats, while we were holding Mella on the bed, they would come up and they would, in a manner of speaking, come and show their respect, pay their respects, say their goodbyes, what have you, before he passed. And there was nothing that we were doing. We just allowed the process to unfold as it did. So to me, that's I may be wrong, but that seems to me the most humane way.
Yeah. Am I interrupting?
No, go right ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that sometimes, like, I knew Lydia was in really bad shape and in the end, and I realized that, you know, I had to let her go. And I know she wanted to stay because she ate feverishly, or however you say it. She really ate like crazy. And I think that it's the nicest if they leave in your arms, like what happened to you. I think that's the nicest, because in a way they decide to go. But I mean, I also told Lydia that night that I took her back. I said, if you want to leave, okay, it's hard for me, but I'll let you go. I said, I know you, if you have to go, okay, please, I'd rather have you go than suffer, because I think that's the worst. You know, I did my best with another cat, and when I had to put him down, it was horrible. And when I lost my husky, it was horrible. So, but I feel that my husky left, but we don't have time to talk about that one. But when it was time to go, you know, I would have preferred her just leaving, but she somehow, I know that she wouldn't, she was fighting. Mm-hmm. She was fighting to stay with all her might. But she was drowning in her own water, and other things were, and she was choking. She couldn't breathe anymore, although she was eating. And I said, I can't do that. The love for her was so strong that I loved her so much that it was better for her, not me, mm-hmm. better for her that I almost said me, but it's not me. It was better for her that I let her, that I put her down, because she wouldn't have left. She would have choked to death.
Yeah.
And the vet told me she had the weekend, and that was it. I mean, it was Friday, and she would have choked to death. I can't let a pet that I love more than anything really else in this life, I have to say, choked to death. And so I said, no, no, she's choking and drowning in her own water. I said, no, we got to take her. Yeah. We got to put her down. If she's not going to go, then, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things that we did with Mella. We actually took Mella to the vet, and the vet looked him over and said, okay, well, here are the two options. One is we could run a bunch of blood tests and this and that and the other, and we're probably going to find out that the organs are starting to shut down and this and that and the other thing, which we already know. Or you can go ahead and take him home and take care of him the best you can until the time. And obviously we chose the latter simply because we did not feel that he was suffering. I keep saying she because Mella is Gaelic for honey, which was the name of a woman who we met, both of us, when we were in Ireland back in 2004. And yet we named this male cat Honey.
Aww,
but
sweet.
It was an adorable, adorable, big, fuzzy cat. And we actually have his mate of sorts, another male cat by the name of Schmeagol. It looks more like a Siamese. And he is still alive to this day. Now, the two of them came into this world in a very strange way. We were looking to get a cat, a partner for our prize, if you will, a Merlin, who was born in our home back in Phoenix. And we came to the Humane Society there in Phoenix, and this was June. And someone had just brought in two white kittens at that time. As kittens, they were white. That they had found, and bear in mind, this was on an afternoon in June in Phoenix, they'd found them in a dumpster.
Wow.
And so we decided to take them. So we didn't even get into the Humane Society. There were some people had them out there in their car. And so the vet, when he found out about how they came into this world, said that he's surprised that they lived as long as they did because of how they started out their lives. But in any event, it is something that, you know, they're here for us and we're here for them. And I think it behooves us to do what we can. And I don't want to say to do everything because sadly, there does come a point, especially economically, and sadly that comes into the equation when, you know, sometimes we have to take the other route. We don't want to, but what good is it going to do us as well as them if we end up ruining our lives in the process? And I know that that's not what they want for us. That's a hard one. That's a hard conversation to have with one's self, let alone if you have a partner.
Yeah, that's definite. Well, I've always done what I could do, and I never, I even when I didn't have the cash or whatever, I would always go to as much extent as I could, and
sure.
I did, and so I found a way somehow, you know. And but the thing for me is, like when you said, when the time is like that, you know, you could talk to your pet and you say, you know, you can release them, like you said. And if you have this, and I was going to say love heals, like with these two cats, that's why they live so long, because love heals.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you have a website and you also have classes that you're making available. And the website is animalsecrets.info. That's animalsecrets.info. And people can go there and they can sign up for these classes that you have available. They can get in touch with you through the same website, or is there a better way for them to connect with you?
Well, they can also write me at my email, which is animalsecrets1958@gmail.com. But that website, animalsecrets.info, it's right now I'm doing a free class. So if they want to join the free class, it's actually 9 weeks. And learning about it already starts when they sign in, because I have some letters that I send out. So I get people prepared before even the class, and it's a free class. So I would hop and jump on it.
Very cool. Very cool. I think that anything we can learn to better communicate and connect with our animals in our homes, so much the better. I'm curious about one final thing before we wrap this up. Have you ever been able to make a connection with, let's say, wild animals that might be occupying an area or a space? We've had bears up on our property, turkeys. I'm sure there have been bobcats and this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I haven't done that yet. I've only channeled a tarantula and basically a snake. But to be honest, you could do that. Or if I'd key into them, then I could do it. Yeah. I know that I could do it because I know that you can always key into animals and you can always talk to them. One thing I have done real quick, there was a worm crawling up where I was meditating one time and I couldn't move. And I at that time, because it was a meditation, I said, you have to turn around and go back because I don't like worms. And it turned around and went away. So you could definitely, you could definitely tell the animals or talk to them or tell them what you want. And yes, I can key in, but I mean, you can do it too. So,
well, Barbara, who is Barbara Kurtman?
Well, I was born in New York, New York State, and I studied human services and I've traveled and I've moved 26 times. And like I said, I'm on the spiritual journey 21 years. I have a trainer's degree and I'm a coach and I'm an empath and I'm intuitive. And so I'm like a combination of a lot of different things. You know, my passion and calling is animal communication. I have a human service degree and I have a coaching degree and training degree. And it's all in the area of the LOA. But stress management, I do a lot of releasing techniques and I do meditations and I help people release their stress, because I think that's one of the main things that you have to do to communicate with animals, because if you don't release your stress and relax, then you can't even get in touch. So that's the main thing. So, and that's a field that I really work intensely at. So, and I love doing that to help the people connect and also with their pets. So, yeah.
And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I tell you, my biggest dream, to be honest, is I would love to keep animals out of shelters as best I can, and to have people understand their pets better, to educate people, because I think if they're more educated and understand their animals better, then I think we can save, like, I'm working at a point now to save, like I say, 1 million animals. And my biggest dream is to have like a lot of farms around the world, and not like shelters, but farms, so that animals that have been abandoned can have a place where they're running around and where they're really taken care of, and that there are no more homeless animals on the streets. Because that's my biggest dream, to save all the animals of the earth. It doesn't matter which type of animal. I just want them all safe and understood and cared for. And I'm vegan, so that's a big issue for me. Mm-hmm. So I just want people to understand them better and to really hear them.
And who inspires you?
Who inspires me? That's a good question. I would say, does it have to be a particular person?
Whoever inspires you.
Whoever inspires me. That is a very good question. I think what inspires me is all different methods and all different people that are working in the law of attraction field, like any of the top speakers. They all inspire me, like Lisa Nichols and Louise Hay and my enlightened master Ramta and Esther Hicks and all of those people, Michael Beckwith, and I love all of them. I think they're awesome. So.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program today and sharing your story and your insights into animal communications. And we look forward to talking with you again in the future. Should you find yourself back in the States and out here in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to continue this conversation in studio.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on today. It was an awesome. I hope I helped 1 million animals. That's my dream.
Barbara Kurtman is my guest, and she is an animal communicator. The website, once again, is animalsecrets.info. That's animalsecrets.info. And if I'm remembering correctly, it's Animal Secrets 1958. And is that, again, is that at a Yahoo?
No, that's at gmail.com.
All right. animalsecrets1958@gmail.com if you'd like to make a direct contact with Barbara. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to all.